This podcast is intended for investment professionals.
Hello, I'm Frances Watson and welcome to LGIM Talks. Late last year, some of LGIM's most senior women managers took time out of their busy schedules to share their insights on how to survive and prosper in the world of investment management. The event covered issues such as personal development, inclusivity, and balancing life outside of work. We hope you'll find the recording interesting and informative. So, first off is Brenda Sklar, LGIM's Global Chief Operating Officer, talking about what she thought were the key inflection points in her career.
I think there have been many inflection points. I think the common theme around them has been taking risks. And with that often being decisions around mobility and what to do next. So I've moved around a lot in different types of roles, not different organizations, but different roles throughout my career. But I believe that that has primarily gotten me to where I am because I've had to take myself, quite honestly, outside of my comfort zone.
Comfort zones aside, the common theme among the panelists seemed to be that none of them had a master career plan. To illustrate the point, here's Sonia Loud, Chief Investment Officer, talking about the concept of sidestepping.
Stepping out of your comfort zone has to be part and parcel. But likewise, the taking a step back and looking at your situation to understand whether this is in fact what you want to do. The idea and the concept of the sidestepping, it is not going in a straight line. And sometimes acquiring additional skill sets through a sidestep is probably the way how you can bring it all together then in moving forward. But I then took the conscious decision, how can I acquire more skills? And this is why the step into not only the exec MBA, but then multi-asset was a conscious decision. That was the only conscious one because I wanted to just have a broader skill set to then move forward.
On to the next question of self-promotion in the corporate world now. And Martina Kay, LGIM's Global HR Officer, had this to say.
I think stretch has been important. So I've said yes to projects. I've said yes to taking additional responsibility. So my last job at Homebase, I took on corporate affairs at board level. I'd never done it before. But I knew I could, and I got the feedback. So I think observe, learn from the people you see who really have success in that proactive stretch. Think about yourself as me PLC, which is what it works for me, might not work for everyone. But if I don't back myself, then why should anyone else back me? And ask for help. Go for the coffees, go for the networks, tell people what you want, and they will help you.
Coffee it is then. And here were a few additional tips from LGIM's Chief Executive Officer, Michelle Scrimger.
Ask for feedback. You don't really grow as an individual unless you understand where your flat spots are, and we all have them. It's great when people give you positive reinforcement. It is also really helpful if around the edges of that you're getting some useful feedback. And I would be looking to your network, which is my other sort of point, which is that having a network, particularly a peer network, as you're becoming more senior, I think is very valuable indeed. When we get feedback formally, it tends to be from people who are working for us, and quite often people who are our bosses are not shy, but actually your peers will have a different perspective. Maybe just one other thing. I also found that going to my bosses with a solution, not just a problem, was something that has been very helpful throughout my career. And actually, it's surprising how few people actually do that.
Now on to the slightly more emotive topic of gender bias. And here's Head of Distribution, Sarah Aking, remembering her early years in the city.
I definitely walked into a work environment in the ancient days when it was more common for men to work throughout their careers than for women, and there were more men in the workplace. I also think the city attracted a certain type of male. So I guess what I would observe is what is difficult is when you're faced with a very uniform culture, put it that way. But it really reminds me that, you know, however much that was the issue then, and for me, by the way, I'd say is so significantly less the issue now, I do feel for my colleagues who have their own battles to fight to feel that same sense of inclusion. You know, obviously we're doing work with the sort of ethnic minorities, social inclusion and all the rest of it. And it's the same thing. It's when you are the one who's faced with what looks like a kind of uniform sameness. And actually what it does is it just makes you feel it made me feel self-conscious that I was the one outside, the odd one out. And that's where sort of the pressure comes from. So if you like, the honest answer is my battle has eased. I mean, there was a lot of, I've got some hilarious stories of what it was like being the building and construction UK equity analyst at Cazenove. I mean, I have some stories. The women's loo was the cleaning cupboard in most of my clients I visited. But the truth is that battle has shifted.
And with many panellists concluding that the working environment for women had thankfully moved on a lot since the 1980s, here's what Michelle had to say on the topic of inclusivity.
I think what's the important thing is how do we just make everybody feel, no matter kind of where they're from, what they look like, or how they present, feel that they can actually be themselves in the workplace. That to me is the definition of inclusivity. And that is something which we have to think about every single day, because of course there are biases intended sometimes. It's more the unintended. I think the other thing I would just say, is maybe just sometimes give people a bit of latitude. I tend to go with the view that most people aren't being deliberately unhelpful, obstructive. Some people are, but it sometimes just comes from a place of clumsiness or ignorance.
On to another question now. And given financial services is still a male-dominated profession, although less so than previously, what could women learn from men? Here's Brenda.
So a couple of things I would say I sometimes admire of my male colleagues over the years, but have also seen them in female colleagues, but I think generally is going back to that risk taking and being bold, asking for what you want instead of assuming people know that. Also think that not convincing yourself that you can't do something before even letting other people opine on that. So the famous of don't lead with no because, lead with yes, but. So I have these conditions. These are the things that that we have to work through, but just lead with yes. People, you know, who I've learned with over the years have shared these tricks of trades with me that I've kind of latched onto. And then the other thing that I have realized, I think more later in my career, and it goes back to this, you know, women often struggle with our roles, both from a working perspective and career perspective, as well as broader in our personal family life and the multiple roles that we feel we play, I think more often than men bringing that to the table with us. And I've noticed that in my time that men have this amazing ability to compartmentalize. And so they can lift up something work related or personal related and give 100% of themselves to that. And then put that aside and then pick up something else. And I have really tried to do that more myself over probably the last quarter of my career, and just recognizing that sometimes you need to park things and not let it, you know, disrupt your way of thinking or approach with other things.
And before leaving the topic, let's hear what Sarah Aitken learned from some of her amazing male colleagues.
The one thing that I've learned almost more than anything is just that don't overreact in the moment. Time is an amazing thing. And whatever it is, however passionate and emotional and anything else I feel or we feel, just sitting back for a little bit longer than you might normally and seeing how it looks after a little bit of time. Again, I have seen men do it and do it really well, and I don't know if that's part of that compartmentalizing, but that just sit, and actually it may even be different to what you thought you were dealing with when time passes.
Now, throughout their careers, women have had to balance work with home life, whether it's as a parent or a carer. So what's the secret, Martina?
Be realistic about what's going on in the household, yeah? Home Neil, Mr. K, is never actually going to do cleaning. Well, let's just get over that real quick. So you need to outsource that and think who's better at what. One of the real moments where this all came to the fore was when, you know, I was offered the opportunity, because I ticked the box on career development, that I would go and work in the United States. What then happens is you have some great role models. One of them's on who sort of had, and my boss at the time also had kids, and she'd come to the UK. But I was terrified, and it was at the end of a deal when we were doing a big deal. What really made the difference in that is, whilst you're doing the bravado, yeah, I'd be interested, is you need to. I went and chatted to people that I knew had done it. And the amazing thing then was that a couple of the guys I worked with, senior men, they got their wives to call me at home to talk about what that was like when you have a 3 and a 5-year-old. So it was a real moment for parenthood, because your first concern is not actually your career in that moment. My first concern was my children, because they were little. And I had no idea how it was going to work. But just by having the support in my career environment of people who were willing and gunning for me to go, they provided the support. And then there were other, you know, I had a couple of really senior females around me, and I was able to, because I trusted them, to share my concerns. And they were like, if you don't do this now, when are you going to do it? And it was the best decision, because I would not afterwards have been able to get further ahead in my career because of that. And Home Neil, Mr. K was a big part of the support network.
And here's what Brenda added.
I would definitely echo Martina's point is around it takes a village, right? So for me, a lot of people have said to me over the years, Brenda, I don't know how you do it, ... And my response is, I don't do it alone. And I have lots of people, Mr. Warren Sklar being one of them, who pick up my slack. And that's how I would say it. And it does flex with time. And, you know, I think the word balance was traditionally used very early on, right? And I don't think that's the right word, because, you know, there are days where I fail miserably at it and I don't get balance. And so if I were to judge myself on any given day, I don't know if I would score well. But I think it's over time. And so that's where this shift from balance to flexibility, and that what we all need at any moment of time is and will be different in the future.
And here's Michelle to summarize what values she thought were vital for the workplace.
A strong sense of right and wrong. I mean, a really clear, I guess, therefore moral compass. And if I bring that back to kind of how I think about balance, which is different for everybody, and I think it also ebbs and flows with your career. And obviously, what we've heard about, you know, being a parent or being a carer, I think those things also matter. So it's being able to have the confidence to be honest with people at work about what's going on. I think that's actually really important. I talked a bit about maybe not being able to feel like I could bring my whole self to work at a certain point in my career. And actually I wouldn't discuss things that were going on because I didn't feel that I could. If you're in an environment like this, which I think is seeking to be open and inclusive and welcoming, you should absolutely let people know what's going on in your life privately, so that there is something there that people can help, can feel they can help with. But I think it's that for me is actually really quite important. But it does come back to your own values and what you want and what you bring.
And finally, some tips from the panelists on switching off after a stressful day at work. Go for a walk. Have a meal with the family. Plant some seeds and put those phones on snooze. But as Michelle reminded us all, business does intrude. And the further up the career ladder you go, it's up to you to know where to draw that line. Time for me now to leave you to draw your own lines. Thanks for listening to LGIM Talks.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.